accession number 19041, Reel 2.
George Franklin, Reel 2.
From there, from Shorncliffe, we then moved to Canterbury Barracks, or rather, I should say, Weymouth Barracks in Canterbury, and we marched from Shorncliffe to Canterbury. We marched with our rifle and small pack as platoons, because there were several platoons being trained down at Shorncliffe, because it was the Home Counties Brigade, which had the Home Counties Brigade was made up in them days of the. The Home Counties Brigade made up in them days was made up the Middlesex Regiment, the Buffs, the East Surreys, Royal West Kents, the Queens, and Royal Fusiliers, and because there was a whole mixture of us. But when we got to Canterbury, which was now March, April, you're now into the beginning of May. It was then advanced training, Canterbury, where they, at the back of Weymouth Barracks, Canterbury, they used to have a training ground where you could train more than you do at Shorncliffe. It was open like Salisbury Plain would be on a small scale, where you could dig trenches and dig bunkers and have field firing and whatever. And we came, I suppose we've been there a week, and every night or every morning you used to have to look on the, this was part of your training, you used to have to look on the notice board for orders, which was company orders or battalion orders. And if you missed them, then you were in trouble, because if it was on the board, then you should take notice of what was on the board. But this particular day, it was on the board, and it said there was names all given out there, names all the way down. And this particular time, it was 28 of us, and it had Korean draft. Now, we didn't know anything about Korea at the time. We only knew there was a conflict going out in the Far East. It was only after, I suppose, about 6 weeks of being at Canterbury, we found out that in April the 23rd, 1951, the Gloucestershire Regiment had got overrun. So it seemed to us that we was reinforcements for the Gloucestershire Regiment. But it wasn't to be, because after that 10 weeks training in Canterbury, we were then lined up. Because we then became in transit, we'd finished our training, and then we moved over, which was termed C Company, into a transit company, where we was given our orders and postings. Some went to some Middlesex blokes went to Mill Hill, some went to Royal Fusiliers in the Tower of London, and some went elsewhere. But this 28 of us. Who were in the Middlesex Regiment, and it was virtually given out in order of alphabet, because after 28 names have been read out, we all had to step forward. There was names after that which were, say, around about the W at the end of the alphabet, who went to the Royal Fusiliers, who I know went to Royal Fusiliers Depot. They didn't come with us. So all the fellows who were drafted to Korea, not Korea, to, oh no, beg your pardon, I'm going too far actually. They wasn't drafted to Korea straight away. They were drafted to the King Shropshire Light Infantry, from the Middlesex Regiment to the King Shropshire Light Infantry. Now, no one... Shropshire Light, or rather the Light Infantry drill, is entirely different to Heavy Infantry drill, which we term as Heavy Infantry, like the Middlesex or the Gloucesters or the Northumberland Fusiliers or the whatever. But Light Infantry drill was entirely different. No one knew anything about it. We didn't know anything about it at all. Yet we had all the uniform of Light Infantry flashes on our shoulders and the bugle for the badge and the green beret. And our orders were that we was to go to Liverpool. We was taken up there by officers. Who the officers were, I don't know. But we were taken up there by as a platoon, taken to Liverpool, and we went on to the Devonshire troop ship, bound for Hong Kong. Now, the reason we went to Hong Kong was twofold, I would think. I didn't know this at the time, but I would think now that twofold we went to Hong Kong, was twofold, was that one was to do advanced training with the Argyle and Southern Highlanders because they'd just come back from Korea. So they had first-hand experience of the Korean War, the Argyles. So we done when we got to Hong Kong, which took 6 weeks on the boat. Terrible boat. It was hammocks. We used to have to roll the hammock up every night, get the hammock out every night. Whereas on the other ships, like the Windrush and the Empire Trooper and all the other boats, they all had standees where you pull bunks down and sleep on a bunk. But the Devonshire was a troop ship. I think it was a tramp steamer, quite honest. That's what it felt like to me, because it was bunks and the food. You used to have to go to the galley to get the food and bring it down in panniers for 10 people at a time. Whereas on the other boats, they had their own. You had a cafeteria where you just went through with a tray, and the food was put onto your tray, and you went into your mess room. The Devonshire was a disaster, as far as I was concerned. The second reason why I think we went to Hong Kong is that the British government had passed a law that no national serviceman could go to Korea unless he was 19. He had to be 19 years old. I think this was one of the reasons why that when they put it up to from 18 months to 2 years, that extra 6 months would mean that you wouldn't go to an active zone until you was at the more or less at the end of your term, really. But then again, it depended on what time you went in, what date you went in the army, if you understand my meaning. Because I didn't go in until 6 months or probably 5 months after I was 18. So I was 19 earlier than what a person would be if he was 19, if he was had went in the army on the day of his birthday. So anyway, come November the 3rd, which was my birthday, I was 19. And I should imagine all the people I was in the army with must have been all, their birthdays must have been really enough on top of one another. Never really found out, but I suppose about 20 of us, end of November 1951, we was all taken down on a truck from Hong Kong, Argyle and Southern Highlanders barracks to the docks at Hong Kong, and then we was put on which I believe was an American ammunition carrier. They were carrying ammunition to Korea. It was an American ship, and they'd cleared a holdout for us to sleep in, but as well as us there was also some King's Own Scottish Borderers. There was a platoon of King's Own Scottish Borderers who were also with the Argyles, although they were in a different company. They were attached to a different company. I think they was attached to C Company, who was attached to us as Shropshire Light Infantry, was attached to A Company. But both platoons went on this ammunition carrier, and we slept in the hold of this carrier for six days. And our destination was Hong Kong to Incheon. Now, when we got to Incheon, it's not a deep water bay. It's tidal. So, of course, when we got to Incheon, the boat couldn't get in. So they threw landing nets, what they call it, over the side of the ship, scrambling nets. They threw scrambling nets over the side of the ships, and we had to climb down them into a landing barge, which you saw on the Normandy beaches. Exactly the same thing. Well, bearing in mind it was only, what, 6 years previous. And that shipped us to the into the harbour, and we got out of there. There was nothing on it in Chon. The war had passed in Chon by then, because it then it was now November and the winter had closed in. It was absolutely freezing. Never known cold like it. We was told that it was the worst was to come as regards the winter, because it was, could drop below 25 below degrees below. And of course, we only had khaki uniforms. We had khaki and a greatcoat, which was quite inadequate for the Korean winter. No one knows what the, other than the Koreans themselves, of course, what the winters can be like in Korea. It's not so much the snow, it's the winds coming down the peninsula from the Siberia is the worst part. Not so much the winds as regards blowing winds, but the cold air, I should say, coming down from Siberia. We were then taken from, when we got off the landing barge, we then got onto a truck, onto an American, English truck. No, it must be an English truck, because we were taken to a place called Britannia Camp, near a place called Wijongbu. I think it was Wijongbu, but this Britannia Camp was a transit camp where he was given a bed for the night in a tent, and there was a fire in there, you know, an oil fire, or it was a drip-fed petrol fire, I should say, American type thing. What do they call them? Space eaters? I think they're called space eaters. And of course, it was quite warm in there, really, but you more or less huddled around it because it was so cold outside. He was given a meal, stayed there overnight, and then we were taken up to, into a truck again. It was then taken up to B Echelon. Now, B Echelon is the stores for a regiment. Each regiment has got an A and a B Echelon. A B Echelon is where all the stores are kept for the battalion. A Echelon is where, more or less the same thing, but it is then, where B Echelon as a collective store, I Echelon as each store for each company. And you have six companies in a battalion. And each company has its own sergeant major or colour sergeant. A colour sergeant looks after the stores. So when the stores come up from B Echelon to A Echelon, he then takes his cut for his battalion, which is AB. For each company, beg your pardon, for each company. A, B, C and D, rifle companies. You've got S, which is support company. Then you've got HQ company, which in HQ company, you've got assault pioneers. You've got the HQ, of course. A bugle, whatever. Regimental police. That's your HQ company. When we got to B Echelon, this is when we got issued with our winter kit. We got in there that night, and it was just getting dark. And we were shown into a tent, which I suppose was about 30 feet long by 12, 15 feet wide, with space heaters in again. Typical American type tent, which we got used to seeing all over Korea. Especially when he was in rest or he was in way back. We was given a meal. What struck me about this meal, you might as well say, was that, bearing in mind, we'd come through the war as a child from 1939 to 45. Rationing was worse after the war than what it was in the war. Don't ask me why, I don't know why, because I was only a child at the time. But what struck me most of all when we got to B Echelon and was given a meal was that there was a sergeant cook out of the Army Catering Corps, and he was had this fryer, like a pancake kind of fryer, where you would cook pancakes on, or beef burgers, that kind of thing they do nowadays. And he said to us, as we walked in, he said to us, the sergeant is entirely different to what they were in training in battalions. What would you like, lads? How many eggs do you want? How many eggs do you want? We was lucky to get one in the war, you know. And of course, all the guys were saying, "Well, how many can we have? How many do you like? Three, four, five? Please yourself." And it struck me that the food, I thought at that time, well, if the food's going to be like that in Korea, it's not going to be so bad. Little did we know. But there again, it was, because bearing in mind, we were supplied by the Americans. We didn't know this at the time, because we'd never been used to being supplied by Americans. I mean, when we was on that American ship going to Incheon, the food on there was fantastic. There were steaks and bacon and eggs and, oh, Jesus Christ, we'd never seen it before. And when I say steaks, I mean steaks and chops and whatever. But of course, anyway, B echelon, and back to B echelon. We then incident in this tent. We then had a truckle bed, which folds up into nothing really, so we could lay on canvas wooden truckle bed, and we slept that night. And then next morning we were up, or rather the sergeant came in and got us out of bed. And said, "Righto, lads, we're going to get our kit now. You better get washed and shaved." And I don't know, I hadn't been shaving long, really. But to have a wash, well, where do we wash, Sergeant? There's a stream outside, go and wash in the stream. And when we got out there, it was iced over, because we had to break the ice to wash and shave. And we didn't realise, you know, that this was going to be Korea. And this is the end of November, it's getting on to December, it's into December now, of 51. Well, anyway, we was given our kit, which was quite good kit, actually. It was the outer jacket was, it had a fur hood over it, which had a mask across the front, and the hood was a wire, outside of a wire, which you could twist across your nose so that the cold didn't get through to your nose and so forth. And it was a parka, which had a flap coming from your backside up onto your crutch and done up with two buttons in front. And there were zips all over it. So, of course, they took away their khaki stuff, and we had a combat trouser, which are double thickness, made of nylon. And you could also have inners, which were kind of I think it was called wood... I can't remember. It was something called wood anyway, made of wood, like a kind of a fur, or like a wood filling, which was the inners of your combat trousers. What struck me most of all is that although that equipment was good, the boots had Nord. The boots you got, which were given, they had rubber soles, but the tops were still leather. They were quite inadequate. You used to have to wear two, three pairs of socks. And they used to have to wear used to be known as the naval socks, which were white, which the Navy used to use. They used to be white socks, so they were thicker. But they were quite inadequate. Your feet used to freeze like anything. Absolutely freeze. And the rubber soles, although they were like you might term as trainers now, with the slits in them all the way down through the leather sole, a rubber sole, the ice and the snow used to collect in these. And it used to feel as if you was walking in on high heels. And then you used to have to now and again knock your heel to the floor to knock off the ice which had built up because it had turned into ice. I'm not sure where we are now. Where are we?
Well, you were describing the kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, from B Echelon, we went to... We got all our kit. And we didn't... We wasn't any place for really long, just overnight. We was then... After we got our kit, we was given all our kit, we was then taken up to A Echelon, where the RSM lined us all up, and the Sergeant Majors, the Sergeant Major... of A Echelon, the RSM was there. He gave us a talking to. This is the King Shropshire Light Infantry, A Echelon. You will now be designated which company you're going to go to, and so forth and so forth. And then he just read out names. The Sergeant Major of A Echelon, I believe of A Echelon, he just up names, and he said, right, sir, 1, 2, 3, first four go to A Company, then B Company, C Company, D Company. Anyone want to learn machine guns or mortars, go to support company. And who was left over, who didn't want to go to any, didn't go to any of the rifle companies, then went into HQ. But I think there was only about one person went to HQ. The rest all went to the rifle companies. So then...
Where did you go?
I went to B Company. Me and a friend of mine called Parker. We went in the army together and we stayed all the way through the army, right the way through, in B Company. But as I say, in A Echelon, each company had its own colour sergeant or colour sergeant stores. So if you was designated B Company, you went out and the B Company was out, there was a placard with B Company stores on it outside this tent, and you went over to the tent, and the colour sergeant, see the colour sergeant there, and you say, well, we have been assigned to B Company. Right, I'll be going up to B Company in the next couple of hours. Go and get yourself a cup of tea and a mess, and report back in an hour, and I'll take you up to the company position. Fortunately, you might as well say, that when we got in the truck in the 1500 weight, the colour sergeant and the driver, me and Parker got driven up to B Company, and they were in rest. They'd been up the line. They'd just pulled out the line about 4 weeks previous. They'd been back in rest 4 weeks, and well, you never seen nothing like it. They were dug in on a hillside, right next to the Kiwi 25-pounder gunners, the Kiwi gunners, New Zealanders. And that was the rest area, which was 5 miles behind the line, 5 miles behind the front line, because the Kiwi gunners, the 25-pounders, could fire 5 miles. And they were dug all the way around B Company, and there was C Company over there, A Company over on a different hill. And we went and we saw the Sergeant Major of B Company, and he said, right, you're in 4 platoon. So we went and saw the Sergeant of 4 platoon, and he said, right, there's a spare bunker there. You can go and get your kit in there and make yourself comfortable as you can. When mess call is called, you know mess call, then the tent of mess, is your mess tent down there, and you get your food down there. Because when we got into this bunker, which was dug into the hillside, now who it was dug by, I don't know, but the previous people who had been there were the Princess Pat's, I believe was Princess Pat's Canadian Light Infantry, I'm not sure, it might have been another regiment, but they had dug those bunkers at that time, how long ago I don't really know, well dug. But there was no fire in there because it was dug in the summer. So, because we had to go, me and Parker said, well, how do we get a fire? How do we make ourselves warm because it's so freezing? Bearing in mind, this is now December. And one of the guys said, well, what do you want to do is get hold of a ammunition box with a lid which has got two clips on it, one either end. Cut the lid in half, just the lid, because it's got a hinge either side as well. pull one side down and clip it. So it's now got a, you've now got a box with a cut lid. With your bayonet, this is all improvisation, with your bayonet, knock holes all the way around this box. So it now looks like a brazier. But the lid which opens is where you place your wood for your fire. Now, on the lid which is fixed, you then make a hole, a round hole, as big as a bazooka casing shell, or a casing shell of a 2-inch mortar, or a casing shell of a 3-inch mortar, or a tank shell casing, and fix them all together like a chimney. Then take the chimney back through the roof, push it into your box, your fixed lid of your box. You've now got a fire, you've now got a chimney. You've bashed two pickets into the side of the bunker, and then placed the box on top of those two pickets. And pickets, if to understand what a picket is what you knock into the ground and attach wire fence to. So you improvise these to make a shelf. You only need two pickets to put this fire compartment onto this pickets. You've now got a fire, all you've got to do is go get the wood. Now what you had to do then, you had to go far and wide outside of the company position to collect wood out of old houses which have been, Korean houses which have been abandoned, trees, cut trees down, whatever type of fuel you could use. And it was supplemented by using petrol in a can. You used to have a tin. It's got out of a tin like a condensed milk tin, and put petrol in that. Put it in there. Very dangerous. Put petrol in this. Put petrol in that can. Then put it into the this fire compartment you've made and set light to it with a bang. It used to go off like a bazooka. It used to come out black after a couple of hours because the fumes. But it used to keep you warm. It's the only way you could keep warm. And that went on to up till around about Christmas. As I say, this was now December, and then Christmas came. I can't remember the exact date. Whether we had an early Christmas or not, I don't really know. I have been told since that we had an early Christmas, because dates didn't really matter. Events didn't really matter, though. It was only significant dates you remember, like dates of the day you went in the army, the day you come out of the army. But in actual fact, dates of Christmas dates didn't really matter, because in the army in Korea, one day was like any other. It was just cold. From November right the way round till April, it was cold. So dates didn't really matter. It was just one day after another, one cold day after another. So I don't really know. I can't remember where but Christmas, we had him rest, or if it was an early Christmas, we had him rest. And then it was, supplied with our food by the ACC cooks used to cook for us in rest. It was all American supplied food.